Ian, leave it to me. He said, just don't worry what I'm doing. You just go for the car, Ian. So he dropped me in next to Spence, this big New Zealand guy, to cut down here from a knife fight. I mean, it looked like it's a massive big blade cut. So here's Spence on one side. I jump in. Paul runs straight at them. How many know that sometimes you get a dirty, great, big, bass straight oil rigger with a beard like this and he's built like this running straight at you? Well, these Creole men, although they're strong in comparison to a lot of the Western men, are small. You with me? Even their strongest, most muscular man, because is a lot smaller because they're only eating fish. You know what I mean? Our boys are eating bullocks, you know what I mean? So he charged them, mate. He just went for them. I watched them blow the bluff on them. They backed off, and then he sprinted. He jumped back in the car. One on either side of me felt like a dirty, great big guardian angel. I ducked my head in case a bullet came through the back of the head and blew me away. I get to the surf spot and try and tell him a little bit, but I can't tell him much. You know what I mean? We go surfing. I'm freaked. I'm petrified. I said, drop me in the airport. I go to the airport. Check in. I'm waiting now for the flight. Next minute I get a person at the counter say, could Mr. McCormick please come to the counter? And I'm thinking, well, that's me. Okay, so I wander up to the counter. This man there with his suit and tie said, look, I'm sorry, Mr. McCormick, but we've double booked out of Johannesburg. You're going to have to take another flight. No. I said, you what? They said, look, I'm sorry, you're going to have to get another flight out tomorrow or the next day. We've double booked. I said, well, you've... And I won't tell you what I said. I said, then you mean you screwed up? And they said, yes. I said, well, I nearly grabbed his tie. This man must have seen a man very, very upset. Because I almost grabbed him and ripped him onto the counter and said, I am going on that plane. This guy ran back to the wall and hid out the door. Because I was about to jump it. You understand, a man who's been demonized for 3 days, has been tried to be killed on a couple of occasions, has now got some idiot telling me that they've double booked a plane and I'm not leaving the island? You want to know about a hijacker? Man, I'd have lived and done somebody. I was ready. I was right on the place. Man, I'd have done him. He freaked out and he ran back and he said, sir, it's okay, it's okay. I said, it's not okay. I am leaving on that plane or I'm going to have your guts for garters, Jack. I'll slip you. I'll go for you. He knew. I was not very sanctified. I'm just going for it in the survival mode. As he backs off, he comes back 10 minutes later and sticks his head out. He says, okay. I said, what's okay? I'm on the plane. He said, sir, you're on the plane. I said, you guarantee I'm on that plane? He says, you're on the plane. I said, well, thank you. What am I, you know, I said, calm down a little bit. I said, well, what's happening? He said, well, we put you in the gold class. We've bumped you up. I said, what's that? I've never known gold class. He said, it was business class. You're in a... So, right, jumped on the plane, gone. I'm flying in the plane, and I get the news over the plane saying, Britain's gone to war against the Falklands. It's don't cry for me, Argentina. You know what I mean? I thought, great. England's gone to war with Argentina. I thought, I've just seen heaven. I've just seen hell. I've just seen God. I've just now come back to World War III apocalypse now, thinking, here we all go. You know what I mean? I'm going to get back home. Somebody is going to give me an M16 and saying, welcome to World War III. That's how I perceive it. You know what I mean? So I'm flying to Perth. My brother picks me up from Perth. He said, oh, you realize that we're at war? And I said, well, yeah, I kind of heard on the plane. He said to me, because he was ex-army, ex-military, and he looked at me and he said, well, they won't take me because I'll be an instructor. You know what I mean? I said, well, what about me? He said, well, you'd be going cannon fodder, mate. He just laughed. My younger brother, real encouragement. You know what I mean? He said, we want to have a beer. I said, well, I might as well. You know what I mean? So I went down to Fremantle, had a beer with him. As I'm sitting there, he's saying, well, look, you look a bit thin and look like you've been on heroin. You've been on smack. I said, no. He said, you don't look very good. What's happened to you? I said, well, I just died, saw heaven, have hell, got a bunch of demons trying to kill me. He looked at me, nearly swallowed his glass, his beer, the whole 9 yards. He said, what? He said, you're mad. I said, I'm not mad. He said, you put your head in a gas oven. Taking too many drugs, you're flipping blowing your brain. I said, no, I haven't. I've got a bunch of demons. I mean, then I realized I was blowing in the breeze, wasting my time telling my younger brother what the heck's going on. So I went home, jumped in the bed, went to sleep. He said, oh, I stay with my mate's place, he's in Sri Lanka. Went to sleep, woke up in the middle of the night, and I've got a whole bunch of white-eyed demons floating around the air looking at me. Ghost-like, white-eyed spirit demons. Oh, I'm looking at this and going, where did you mongrels come from? Now, by this stage, I know my authority. You with me? Lord's Prayer, light, they're gone, mate. So I was furious. I thought, why did you follow me all the way from Mauritius? I didn't realise that each nation got its own pack, you know what I mean? You don't have to go anywhere to go. You don't have to go too far to find them. So I got a whole bunch of demons trying to come at me. I'm now awake. I turn the light on. I walk around the room because I thought before I rebuke them and tell them to go in the name of Jesus, I thought I'd give them a piece of my mind. Well, I didn't know any better. I mean, I was ropeable. So I thought I'd let them have a flipping bit of a lip smack and then I'll tell them to rack off in Jesus' name. You know what I mean? That's had a guts full of these things tormenting me. How many know one way to get a man to fight is hit him? I tell you, man. I'm wandering around in my fairly unsanctified anger. And here at the fireplace, you get these tile fireplaces built, Victorian type stuff. Well, I'm looking at this thing. As I look down, I see a little Buddha. Around it, I see rose petals. I then see joss sticks. And as I'm looking at that, I'm thinking, what? Next minute I hear the God speak to me, said, the white-eyed demons that are attacking you come straight out of that idol. I went, snap. Buddhism. The demons. Ganesh, Shiva, Vishnu. I mean, I got flash. I'd walked into temples. I'd walked and seen from Sahi Baba. You know what I mean? I'd seen the whole pack of cards. I had no idea, of course, that the scriptures tell us exactly that the idols are actually full of demons. How many have read that in the Bible? Psalm 106. Verses 36 to 37, and they served their idols, which became a snare to them, even sacrificed their sons and daughters to the demons. So idols they worship are actually demons. They actually sacrificed their children. My life was one of them. I didn't know any of this stuff, but you know what I mean? Deuteronomy 32, verses 16 and 17. Deuteronomy 32. 16 and 17, they made them jealous with strange gods. They were abomination that provoked God to anger. They sacrificed to demons who were not God, to gods whom they had not known, new gods who had come lately, whom their fathers did not dread. And in verse 21, and he made them jealous with what were not God, and they provoked me to anger with their idols. So God's saying, yeah, he was angry. There was a jealousy, there was an anger, because they were actually worshipping and bowing down to new gods. They were bowing to the Johnny-come-lately, gods who came lately. You ever read that? Man who came lately, demons who came lately. But they were actually demons that they were worshipping. I had found the presence of these spiritual beings in idols and temples, and I never knew what they were. I'd been in the Kutragama, I'd been in Borobudur, I'd been in Temple of the Tooth and Candy. I had seen idols, and I'd seen them talk to me, I'd seen spiritual powers coming forth from them, but I didn't realise they were demons. You understand? So in a sense, you've got to respect them. You think, well, I don't want to say anything, I don't want to do anything against these, because there's a supernatural presence that is obviously in these things that people worship. Thinking, well, I don't want to upset the locals by saying that what they're worshipping is evil, you know what I mean, and it's based in fear, but I knew in my spirit there was something in there that frightened me. I now suddenly saw what was actually in them, open-eyed, that they weren't just idols because they were actually demons. Do you understand any of that? I've got these demons coming out. See, angels were cast out of heaven. Revelation 12, a third of the angels were cast out of heaven. They were cast onto earth, Lucifer being one of them. The Bible says he's the dragon of old, the red dragon. How many know that a lot of people worship the dragon? We know we have dragon boat races. You know what I mean? They worship the dragon. It's Lucifer. There's no two ways about it. It's up front, no holds bar, Satan. But a third of the angels fell. They were cast out of their angelic bodies and became free roaming spirits looking for a body. How many know they'd love to inhabit human beings? Who are made in the image of God. How many know they'd love to trash that human being, absolutely destroy the inner core? when he sees mankind, he sees men and women walking around as potential sons and daughters of God who have the destiny and the call to be sons and daughters of light, glorified in the heavens, and have total authority over every demon and crush them under our feet. And I am suddenly conscious that I have an authority through the power of prayer in the name of Jesus over these wide-eyed demons who are in this idol. I suddenly have snap idolatry. How many know that if you wipe out Buddhism, you take out all of Hinduism too? All ancestral worship, you basically move through the whole pack of cards. That wipes out a huge chunk of the religions of the world. God says, you shall bow down to no graven image. You have the Lord thy God and him alone. Ten Commandments. So I'm suddenly getting a flood of revelation. I pray. The demons go. I go to sleep. I wake up the next morning, have breakfast with my brother. I said, mate, what's your mate doing in Sri Lanka? He said, oh, he's training to be a Buddhist monk. I said, whoop-dee-doo. Great. That's a real winner for that spinner. You know what I mean? I said, what's he doing? You know, going om and levitating off the ground up there? He said, yeah, he's right into it. Totally dedicated to Buddha and Buddhism. Well, then I flew out of there, and I thought, well, I'm out of here. I'm not going to sleep in the idol room, you know what I mean? I'm going. I'm out. So I said, I'm getting the ticket out. Sorry, I'll see you later. So I flew into Melbourne. Flew into Melbourne, and my Australian mate, surfing mate, who was as doped up normally as I was, picks me up with his girlfriend and his ute. As we're driving back, he said, wrap your laugh and get around this China, you know? Yeah. I'm going, no. He looked at me and said, he nearly drove off the road. He said, what? And I said, no. He said, what's happened? I said, I'm not taking drugs anymore. He said, you're not a narc, are you? Wondering if the police had kind of grabbed me, you know what I mean, to infiltrate the underworld and take the boys out because I knew too many of them. So he said, I said, no, I'm not a narc. I'm not. I'm straight. I'm clean. He said, what's happened to you? I said, well, wait for this, son. This will blow your lights out. I've just seen God, mate, been traced by a whole bunch of demons, and he nearly went off the road. He said, do you still surf? And I said, well, I think so. Took me for a surf, not interested in it. He said, well, mate, I said, I'm going up to Sydney to see my girlfriend. There's not much fun hanging around here. So I flew up to Sydney. As I flew up to Sydney, my girlfriend picks me up with the dress about here, you know what I mean, and says, here we go. You know, I'm going, whoa, you know what I mean? She said, you're not queer, are you? You haven't gone gay on me. I said, no, but I don't feel right about jumping into the sack. She went, what? She said, you still go to nightclubs and drink? I said, well, I think so. I don't know. For neck, I don't know. I'm not jumping to bed. I'm not surfing. I'm praying every day. I'm casting demons out of idols. I mean, hello, it's a change of lifestyle here. I said, well, where do you go? She said, I go to a nightclub where Men at Work are playing, and they've got a new group called Midnight Oil down in Narrabeen. I said, Midnight Oil? Yeah, I've heard of them. Yeah, I'll come down. So I went down, walked into the bar, turned around, got my beer. As I'm pouring my beer, turned around, looked to where the band was. Here's the band playing full belt, you know what I mean? Look up above them, and there's a blinking, like a bat cave of demons hanging right above their heads. I go, what? Just hanging out, mate, it's a flipping den. It's a full-on, it's a pit. I just turn around. The only time I turn around and think to myself, well, I might as well drink my beer before I go. I thought, no, I can't even drink my beer. I feel sick in my stomach hanging around in this hellhole. I started walking out. The only other time I ever walked out of a pub was when I had a barman proposition me, and I brought a beer, walked into a gay bar by mistake, and this boy had a crack at me. He nearly wore the jug in his face, you know what I mean? I turned around and had another sweet little boy, he have another go at me. I nearly hit him, and I walked out not drinking my beer. It's the only time I ever drunk my beer. Once when I had two gay boys have a crack at me as I just walked in. Now I've got, and God loves gays, but they're demon possessed. That's why they all speak the same, they're demons. And you better watch out if you hit the male part of the demon. They're nasty ones. But they'll come out in Jesus' name, if the man wants to be free. So I'm standing here, and I'm walking out. My girlfriend, who's just freaking out, she's running behind me going, now what are you doing? I'm saying, I'm going home. She said, well, you didn't even have your beer. I said, I'm not going to this. It's full of demons. She looked at me and said, whoa. She said, where are you sleeping? I said, I'm sleeping on the couch. You can do what you like. Can I use your phone? She said, what for? I said, I'm ringing home. And she said, what for? I said, I'm flying home tomorrow. I'm not staying here any longer. I'm out of here. So I jumped on the plane, rang up, got the whole thing sorted, jumped on the plane, flying. I'm listening to, I'm listening to Supertramp on my Walkman. As I'm listening to this band flying across the Pacific, I'm thinking to myself, what on earth are you? I mean, you're doing this, you're doing that. I mean, you're seeing demons, you're having open-eye visions of end time. I've seen end time stuff. I'm seeing planes that I see in these visions 20 years ago that I'm seeing now flying on the air. War machines. I'm seeing stuff that's like 21st century war machines in the air over Australia. I see a whole apocalyptic thing happening in Australia. I'm actually going along on this plane thinking, what on earth happened to me? I'm listening to this super tramp and I hear a voice say to me, you're a reborn Christian. I'm thinking, what? Take the Walkman off, you know, look around. No one within, I mean, there's no one. I'm thinking, reborn Christian, what the heck's that mean? You've got to die and come back to life? I don't know what any of this stuff means. I don't know. So I put my Walkman on, flew back into the airport with this word, reborn Christian, reborn. I think, well, I'm a Christian. I'm praying. I'm not sleeping around. I'm not taking drugs. I mean, I have to be Christian. Christians don't do that, do they? Hopefully they don't. So I fly in, I go through, normally they would have strip searched me, because the countries I've been in and how I looked, you know what I mean, my surfboards and the hair down here, they would have normally done the full thing, but I went straight through customs, straight through immigration, my parents are there, my girlfriend's there, another one, when I left 2 years before, you know what I mean, well, that's how I operated, it was one and make sure you keep the whole thing going. So I walk back in, and she jumps in the car with my parents, and my parents said, you look thin, you don't look very good. And I said, yeah, I've been through a fairly, you know, rough patch there. Jump in the car, we're driving back down the motorway, back home, and my father's driving along. He said, Ian, you've been away for 2 years, you must have had some amazing things happen in your life. Can you just share one of the experiences that you had while you're away? Could you possibly just kind of give us a little bit of an insight of one of the most exciting experiences that happened to you over the last 2 years, of all the stories and things that you've seen? I thought, well, Dad, it's pretty hard to put it in words, but I've just had what appears to be a life after death. I've been up in the glorified in the presence of God, been to hell, and I'm a reborn Christian. I'm thinking, what did I say that for? As I said that, my father demonically manifests. His eyes go red, he nearly snaps the steering wheel and nearly drives off the motorway. My father was a Mason. He had a rebirth ritual through the lodge, where they do Maha Bone Javalon and do this whole shibboleth stuff, be feigned death, hoodwinked, put in a coffin and brought back to life through the power of the Masonic Order. Well, I have no idea that my dear dad, who thinks he's a Christian, is actually now involved in a cult and has a demon through the initiation rites of the third degree, and he is now manifesting demonically, and I'm the first person I've actually opened up to and told him I'm a reborn Christian on planet Earth. I don't even know what the term means. My father's eyes, who are vivid red, totally demonized, look up into the mirror. His face is contorted. In the mirror, I see the reflection out of the mirror. I hate to see him fall blow. He then, through the mirror, as he's trying to drive and control his anger, said, I never, ever want you to talk about this again. And I'm thinking, well, there goes the conversation. I've come home, told my dad what I've just seen. I've got my father demonically oppressed going off at me. So I look out the window and look at the cows and lovely scenery going back down home. My girlfriend, who had become a Christian a few weeks before in a Pentecostal church, thinks someone has told me and I'm just mocking her out and making a joke of it because she didn't think it was possible for me to be born again. She just didn't even have a clue. My mother, who hasn't even heard the word born again, doesn't even know what it is. She's a Christian because she prayed in the bedroom and gave her life over to Jesus as a young woman. She thinks, well, could Ian be born? Could Ian be a Christian? You know what I mean? Like, so mum's kind of sitting there wondering why dad's spinning off and going in here. And so the whole car goes quiet. We get home. I give the presents out. I go to bed. In the middle of the night, a whole bunch of demons attacking me in my parents' house. At this point, I'm fairly irate. I stand up. My mother has kept my bedroom since I was a 16-year-old boy, I think, when I left. You know what I mean? 17-year-old boy since I left and went to university. I'm now a 26-year-old man. So she's kept my room with a surf post. It's almost like stepping back into time warp. You know what I mean? I'm stepping back into a 17-year-old's bedroom with all the posters of the whole thing. So I'm stepping back into what's normal, home, New Zealand, mum and dad's place. Next minute, I've got a pack of demons attacking me and my parents' household. Bible says that when the strong man, that's when the head of the house is actually under the power of evil, guess what? Guess who comes in? So I unrestrained in my vocabulary description of what they should do with themselves, let rip. So I basically give them a good dose of my tongue. Next minute I hear a yell from across the hallway. Unfortunately, my bedroom door is open, and across the hallway is called the master bedroom, and that doorway is open. And I've got my father going, "What the are you doing in there, yelling and screaming? What do you think you're doing?" Well, I didn't exactly say, "Well, I'm actually binding and casting all the demons out of your house, Dad, because the whole flipping place is full of them. Go back to sleep, don't worry about it." I said, "Well, Dad, just a bad dream there, you know what I mean? Sorry, you know. See, I've forgotten. I've been living away from home for so long. How many know you can often do what you like when you're at home? There's no one else around. Just your flatmates, you think you're mad anyhow." So here I am. I'm just letting rip into these spiritual forces. I then close the door, turn the lights on and think, "God, I've had a gutsful of these things. What do I have to do to get rid of them?" You know what he said? "Read a Bible." You know what I said? "Next you'll be asking me to go to church." I'm praying, you know what I mean? I'm cleaning my act up. I've never, you know what I mean? I said, "Well, I don't have a Bible." He said, "Your father has one." And I thought, "Yeah, most likely he has." He said, "Go and ask your father for a Bible now." I thought, "Yeah, crawl on broken glass, you know what I mean?" No more from God. You realize that God's very smart. He knows exactly where the Bible was. He knew who had it. Trouble is, I had to physically open the door, walk across the hallway and go and ask him for one. How many know it's hard for a son sometimes when he's headbanging with his father to ask him for anything? Especially for one who just demonically manifested on you that coming home that day. You know what I mean? So I thought, well, I've got nothing to lose. I want to get rid of these demons. I better find out what to do. So I walked across the hallway. The light was on. My father's reading his Reader's Digest, propped up in bed, his Bible, you know what I mean? Through his glass, he looked at me and said, "What the flippin' heck do you think you're doing, you stupid young..." You know what I mean? It just gave me a little bit of a lash in there. As I'm looking at him, I said, "Dad, look, I'm sorry to trouble you, but I need a favour from you." Well, that was the first time I'd ever heard that word in his entire life. As he said, I said that, he disarmed them. He said, "Well, what can I do? What would you like me to do?" I said, "Well, Dad, I need a Bible." I didn't tell him that God had just told me I need I need a Bible. He looked at me and he looked over at Mum, who had slept through an earthquake. She slept through me rebuking the demons, Dad yelling at her, the lights coming on. My mum could sleep through an earthquake, you know what I mean? So Mum's sound asleep. Dad looks at her and just grabs her and starts shaking her. "Dear, wake up, wake up, wake up." And my mother's like, "What is going on?" She looks at, "What's wrong, honey?" You know, she's so just like, "What's wrong, honey?" You know what I mean? And Dad looks at her and goes, your son, he wants a Bible. And I'm getting my mother's going, "Ian, what are you doing up so late? What's happened? She said, "Oh, well, Mum, I need a Bible." You know, I asked Dad for his Bible. "Oh, you want a Bible?" Dad said, "Well, which one?" I'm thinking, I didn't know there were two, you know what I mean? I said, which one? He said, "Well, I've got the Old Testament. Your mother's got the New Testament. Which one do you want?" I thought, "Well, where the heck does it start?" He said, "Well, that's the Old Testament. It's mine." I said, "That'll do. Let me might as well start at the beginning and read the whole thing." So he jumps out of bed, walks over, opens up his briefcase where the Masons go off in their little black capes and the whole thing, pulls it out, gives it to me. As he's given it, he said, "It's mostly a good thing that you're reading this. Because, see, the Masons read the Old Testament. The trouble is they haven't got into the New Testament to find out that it's God, it's Jesus is God, not Jabalon." So here I am. I open the Bible up. Never, ever in my life opened a Bible. Genesis, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth." I thought, well, that's a huge statement. I thought, well, if he's God, he must have done it. Doesn't say how he did it. He said, "God created the heavens and the earth." I thought, okay. "The earth was formless and void, And darkness was, and I thought, darkness? I've seen that. Was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. I thought, darkness, that's evil. I've seen that. And verse 3 it said, God said, let there be light, and there was light. I said, I've seen that light. And then God saw that the light was good. I said, yeah, I know it's good. And God separated the light from the darkness. I said, I've seen the separation. I've been in that dominion of darkness and light. I know exactly what this scripture is saying. This is God's word. I broke into tears right at that point. I said, I've mocked this thing out for years. And I realized that very shortly after, said, God made the sun and the moon and the stars. So this was a spiritual darkness with a spiritual light radiating from heaven. In 6 weeks, I read the entire Bible. As I read it, started to get understanding of the demonic, understanding of the power, understanding of the authority. All authority is given over every demon power. We fight not against flesh and blood. We have spiritual weapons to pull down strongholds. I started to see the curses, that words that are spoken are curses and bring death and bring the demonic. I started to see that we come as sons and daughters of God into the light. I started seeing the full armor of light. I started seeing that God has given us spiritual weapons of warfare. We have the power of the blood of Jesus, the word of God, the name of Christ, that we have supernatural giftings given by God to bind and to loosen. I started to see that the battle that I was fighting was fought in prayer in the spirit realm. My mother came in, found me asleep with the Bible literally embedded in my face and said, you know, son, what's happened? I told her my story. She burst into tears and told me that she had been praying that night, and then we suddenly put the picture together. She suddenly realized her son had been born again through the prayers of a mother in an ambulance. The trouble was, I was a fanatic. My mother was a nominal Anglican who knew nothing about the word born again. Intercessory prayer was a mystic. She knew none of that. She knew nothing. She knew nothing. She was a baby Christian. She was not even drinking the milk. She knew nothing about baptisms. She knew nothing about being filled with the Holy Spirit. All she knew is that in her bedroom she gave her life to Jesus, and that was it. She hadn't even read a Bible. So my mother was no spiritual giant. My mother was an absolute babe in Christ. Within 6 weeks, it had almost overtaken her spiritual knowledge because I was reading the Bible. My girlfriend then took me down to a Pentecostal church and said, come into this church. I said, what for? God's not in church. She said, it's a supermarket church. She said, well, now I'm as mad as they are. I've got to see the supermarket church. So I go up there. As I walk up in the middle of the night, there's light billowing out of the church, such a radiance that as I walk into it, I suddenly see that I'm standing inside a radiant glory of God that is actually emanating off all these people who call themselves born-again Christians. As I'm standing there, I see men walk out. Most of them look to be in the same light of what I can see, but the one man walks out with red hair, and his face is ablaze with a white light. I'm looking at him and going, who on earth is that man? I just see light pouring forth out of his face, eclipsing all the light that's in the church, basically eclipsing anything I'd seen on any Christian in the church. As I'm looking at this man's face, I'm thinking, I'd love to hear him speak. He stands up and speaks and says, preaches the gospel, said, those who are burdened and heavy laden come to find rest. If you're in a place where you've been carrying the weight of the world upon your shoulders and you need to find some rest for your soul, I want you to come forward now and surrender your life over to God fully, and we're going to pray for you. Next minute I'm up, I've got demons in the church telling me, don't go, don't listen, sit down. I said, I rebuke you. Why? Who asked you in here? How many know that demons come to the church? It's worse when they preach. Because if you can't beat the church, you join it. So in we go. I walk up the front. This man says, I want the Christians to raise their hand out now and release the love of God. I'll pray for the Spirit of God to fall. They reach out their hand. Next minute I'm getting touched with the power of the radiance of the glory of God. I am being hit with love, and my whole body is staggering as I am weeping, sobbing as I come to the altar. He said, God can see everything in these people's lives. Our lives are transparent before God. I'm going to come down and pray for them. I'm thinking, well, God can see everything, but you're a man of God, and I bet you can see everything too. If you take one look at me, you could mostly check my spirit out with one glance, because I know that you're hearing from God and that you walk with God. You can read my mail. How many of you hate if someone could read your mail? Sum you up within 5 seconds by one glance. Know your thought, know where you've come from, have a pretty good idea what you've been involved in, because it actually hangs off your spirit. True. I thought to myself, I'm going to pray that this man doesn't come anywhere near me. Because who knows what might happen? You might actually manifest. So I bowed my head and started praying. I said, God, keep that man away from me. I don't want him anywhere near me. Next minute, I got two feet right in front of me. I'm thinking, that's the guy. I could feel the power that he was actually carrying. As he stood there, I realized that he was lifting, some power was coming into my head. The next minute, I opened my eyes, and I was encased in white light. This man had disappeared. I'm now standing in the glory of God. I'm standing in the white radiance of heaven. I've now got the kingdom of heaven on earth, and I'm suddenly in the glory of God again. And I'm standing there. I feel amazing love flowing through me. No, and I can't see anyone else. I'm just in light. As I'm standing there, I'm thinking, what on earth? God said, he said, son, you don't have to die to experience my presence. You can have it right here on earth. I suddenly saw the light, part of an open vision of heaven. I stood there and saw right behind the pulpit, I saw an open heaven. I saw the fields again, I saw the crystal clear water. I started seeing the glory of God. And I, next minute I got a man put his hand on my shoulder. I look around and here's a messianic Jew, just got saved. He was a cocaine dealer, Jewish guy, cocaine, splitting cocaine. Jesus walked into his hotel and said, I'm the Son of God. This guy thought he was off on coke, you know what I mean? He thought he coked his brain out. Then he realized that it wasn't. He hadn't even taken anything, you know what I mean? Here he was, completely getting saved, right there. He now led me out the back. You know how people lead you out the back after you come up to the altar? So I walked out the back, and he stood there with Billy Graham, steps to peace with God, and he said, do you believe in God? I said, yeah, I've seen him. He went, what? I said, yeah, I've seen him. He said, can you confess? Because he had already seen him too, so he didn't shake him that much, but it shook him. He said, can you confess you're a sinner? I said, yes. Done heaps of things wrong. He said, then you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. I said, well, I've seen God, I believe in God. Who's Jesus? He said, Jesus is the Son of God. I said, you show me in the Bible. Because I was still reading the Old Testament, I hadn't got to the New Testament. He said, John 3:3. You know what I mean? You must be born again, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes to John 3:16. He said, Jesus is the Son of God. You know what I mean? And then he goes on and says that men like darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil and hated coming to the light, lest their evil deeds be exposed. I said, what's this whole thing about light and darkness and evil? He said, oh, Jesus is the light of the world. I went, what? He said, where's that? He said, John 8:12. He opened it up. He said, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Those who come to me shall no longer walk in darkness but have the light of life. It was Jesus. He said, where are you reading? I said, I'm reading the Bible. He said, where? I said, I'm actually in Kings, you know. He said, I think you should jump through to the front here, you know what I mean, have a crack at John. He said, you can read both of them simultaneously, but you make sure you get into John and start reading. Well, I read that night, and then I didn't stop. Next minute, I'm in Revelations. Jesus, light of the world, King of glory. Face shining like the sun. I started to have absolute upfront, open-eyed, total. And they started praying for the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm down for hours. I'm lying there having the power of God sweeping through me. No one's praying for me. The power thing's leaving me. I thought, well, wherever they leave, they better get out because I want more of God. You know what I mean? I then started reading that those demons try and come back in. I said, God, what happened when I died? He said, your human spirit left your physical body, son. He said, your vessel was empty. He said the demon that was actually in your life, an unclean spirit, most likely more than one, had to go somewhere. So where did it go? It left. Why would a demon hang around a dead corpse unless someone's going to pray for it? Ancestral worship and people who pray to the dead actually start calling those spirits in. They think in ancestral worship in the Maori people in New Zealand, 3 days that the actual spirit of the person hangs around the body before it goes off into wherever it's going. So they believe that when the human spirit dies, the human spirit's still hanging around. I realized very quickly, no, my human spirit didn't hang around, but the familiar spirit that knew me, the demon that had become so close to me, who knew about me, could imitate my voice and knew my sins and knew secrets about my life that no one else, is what clairvoyants and mediums and seances call in when they start asking for special information. So when they start talking, they don't call the ancestor up, they call the demon up. They call the unclean spirit, the ancestral spirit. It's a demon, it's not your ancestor. Your ancestor is in heaven and hell. And I thought, my gosh. I said, what happened? He said, well, that demon, when it left your body, had no conception that I'd bring your spirit back into your physical body. Swept clean, washed with the blood of the Lamb, as white as snow, and I had resurrection power to bring you back from the dead. So when it saw you, it was as shocked as you seen it. The trouble is, the Bible says it had gathered six or seven worse demons in itself and tried to inhabit. When you wouldn't let them come in, son, when you said, no, you have no right over this body, you've had enough destruction and death and perversion in my life to sink a ship, you're not coming back in, they thought, if you will not come back onto the dark side, we will kill you. We will silence your testimony. You will never speak, because I had no clue that I'd be speaking before thousands of people. Had no concept of going to nations. You understand? So they try to enter you. But they couldn't. And then they try to kill you. But they couldn't even kill you because of the power of the name of Jesus. Got it. Does this make any sense at all? Then I started praying for people who had sicknesses, turned out half the time demons. All kinds of things coming to actually cause people to be removed from the presence of God. Now, you're about the second group of people in this entire planet that have ever heard this.